salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. Good morning to some of you out there who can't figure out why you can't get inside the queue today. Well, if you'd have been part of our after show yesterday, which many of you aren't aware of this, we have a dialogue before the show and a dialogue after the show. We call it the after show. We call it the huddle. So in other words, when the show begins at 7 o'clock, which it just started, usually about 6:45, we got a bunch of guys in here who are already chewing the fat and talking about the issues of the day and getting to know each other a little bit better. And then after the show's over, we tend to have a really, really powerful, great discussions after the show's over. In other words, when we go off of the air, if you're part of the queue, this goes on. Sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes, where we chew over the issues of what we just discussed yesterday. So yesterday, pardon me, I just got still fighting a little bit of a cough. And so yesterday in the after show, we introduced a new feature here at Coach Dave Live. And I want to be able to lay that out for you right now because some of you still aren't getting it. I looked up, we've got 24 people in the queue. Normally, we would have probably 40, 45 people in the queue. And a lot of you aren't in here because you don't understand what's going on. So let me explain it to you very, very quickly. Well, we have created what we call a paywall. I hate the sound of that, but that's what it is. A paywall for Pass the Salt Ministries that you can become a monthly supporter of what we do here. And when you become a monthly supporter, $20 a month is what we ask for everybody. There is so much stuff behind our paywall, videos, audios, writings, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos that become available for you to be able to use in your own Bible studies, for your own enjoyment, whatever. Lots of content that we've produced. That's behind the paywall. And the paywall is a $20 a month, a dollar a day membership. You just join Coach Dave Live, a dollar a day, and you get access to all of that. Along with that dollar a day offering, donation, $20 a month, you get access to being part of the show, the queue. We call this the queue. Those of you who are watching right now, maybe you're just watching it on the website, maybe you're watching it on Facebook, maybe you're watching it on YouTube, you're just watching the show. But if you want to be an active participant, like Larry comes in here and tells us, Dale Socius tells us stuff all the time, and Mark Trump jumps in here, and Larry Richardson and Mel, they all come in and give us their 2 cents worth. If you want to be able to give your 2 cents worth, then you're going to have to join the queue, the huddle, at $20 a month, a dollar a day. You're welcome. The show's always free. It will always be free. Always. You can come and watch the show. But if you want to get in here with us, then you have to go simply to our website. Hey, Jared or Gary, can somebody do a real quick demonstration for those who still don't get it? Folks, it's just going to take a couple minutes. It's important we do this. Jared or somebody, can you come in here and explain real quickly to people how they join? By the way, why are you doing that?
I'm
doing it because we have expenses here, folks. This is not a multi-million-dollar studio, although they may think it is. It really isn't. It really isn't. And we have expenses. We have a lot of expenses. In fact, Jared, our webmaster, is working right now on a product, a system, whatever, where all of our stuff is being hosted on our own server. In other words, we're no longer dependent on YouTube keeping care of our videos. We're no longer concerned about news reviews having every one of our commentaries. No longer concerned with, we are storing all of this stuff in-house. We own what you see on the screen right now. We own this server. And you can see there's all kinds of hundreds, and I'm not making it up, hundreds of things on our website that you can access. In fact, we have them divided into like pro-life issues. We have it divided into, excuse me, pardon me. Thank you, Gary. Abortion issues, biblical perspective, boots on the ground, all videos, right? Church pulpits, Coach Dave live show, cultural issues, disaster relief videos, family and school, legal issues, patriotism. These are all videos that you can have access to that you can use in Bible studies, in your Sunday school class, or just for entertainment. This stuff all becomes available to you when you become a member for $20 a month. You get to come into the show. The show is always free. You can watch the show for free. But if you want to be an active participant, or if you would like to have access to all this great information behind the paywall, folks, people say, Coach, you can't charge for the gospel. I'm not charging for the gospel. I'm charging for the production of the gospel. Come on here, man. Come on. Nothing's free. Nothing's free in this world. So it's very, very simple. All you have to do is just go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on that link. And then what happens, Jared? Do you want to walk us through this? Or Gary, you want to walk us? Folks, there are hundreds, maybe a thousand videos that you have access to right here on our paywall and our website. It's all available to you to use however you want to use. Oh, so if you want to, here's how you do it. Come on, nothing's free. Coach Dave Live, interactive huddle, and hit click on join the huddle. So it's very, very simple. When you click on join the huddle, there's the link to join the huddle. But folks, in order to come in and be an active part of the program and get access to all these thousands of videos that are on the website, you have to become a member. And how do you become a member? Well, you click on, boom. Show them how they do it, Jared. Is that it right there?
Yeah, Coach. So for now, we're in a two-week grace period. So for those of you, this is the first step. You'll come here. Eventually, this page right here that you're looking at is going to be behind the membership. So the join information is going to be behind the membership of this site. So when you click on that join the huddle link, you'll be referred to a, you can't access this, sign up, right? So now open up an in private tab. In private. And we're going to show you real quick what that looks like.
Sorry, folks. We just got to do this housekeeping. I got a great show. Hang in there with us, okay? We just have to do this housekeeping because I know people are trying to figure out why they can't get in here today. We'll explain it all right here.
All right. So put it up. So now click on join the huddle link. So now you would be presented with. All right. My presentation is not working so good.
Okay.
But you have to create a membership anyway. So you're going to need to create a membership. And then once you create a membership, you will then have to have access to this link to be able to join. And that is where the $20 membership comes in, to be in the show, in the green room, in the huddle with Coach. It's going to take that membership.
Plus, you get all of the other stuff that's available to you. Say, Coach, why are you doing this? Can I tell you why you're doing this? Because there's a lot of you out there that are, I hate to say this, it's spiritual welfare. Spiritual welfare. You are getting fed here. We're trying to expand everything that we do, and some of you out there have never given not a nickel to the work that goes on here. We're getting ready to go. We're going to go to the Rimfire Conference in Montana. That has expenses with it. We're going to go do Bobby Lee's event in Philadelphia. Oh, are you kidding me? Michelle, bring my cord down. I thought I had that plugged in. Every event we go to, we're going to go to Mayberry next week. Those incur expenses for us to go. We have to set these events up. We have to rent hotel rooms. We have to rent conference rooms. We have travel expenses. Folks, this is what we do. And as I say over and over and over, if you just donated $20, a dollar a day, if everybody who watched the show just gave us a dollar a day, most of our financial issues would go away. Thanks, Mark. Just plug it in right there, right over here, man. Right over here. I knew I'd done. There we go. My computer's going to go dead on me. So, okay, folks. So, Demony, how about this supposed to be free? Well, tell me something that's free. Tell me something that's free. We need you to become a member. Any questions? Well, we're going to give you a little updates on this as we continue to go on. Again, the show is always free. You can go and watch the show for free. You always can. But if you want to be part of the interactive huddle and the before and the after show, then you're going to have to join. You have to sign up. I said this to Larry yesterday. I said, Larry, I'm making you an internet sensation. You can at least give me $1 a day for doing that. Can't you? Can't you all give me $1 a day? We'll make you famous all around. Make it so when you walk into, come to one of our huddles, everybody already knows who you are. Said, guy, I saw you, Larry. I saw you on the screen. Well, I've been doing that for Larry for free. So you get what I'm saying, right? Cool. Anybody have a comment on that? Anybody mad about that? To go, oh, gospel's not supposed to be. You're supposed to charge the gospel. Yeah. All right. Nobody? Everybody happy with me? Everybody loves me? Nobody hates me? I think I'll eat a worm? Cool. So that's what's going on here. Man, I got a lot to talk. I got a lot of feedback yesterday about the show. Man, Kingdom of God. I had a number of responses from people who said, Coach, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say when that show was over. And I'm reminded of Romans 14. In fact, I have that up there today as one of the verses that we're going to go to. It says, the kingdom of God, I'm sorry, go ahead to Romans 14, Connor. Go ahead and pull it. I think I put that in there. I got messing around this morning. Yeah, there it is. Let's get her up here, man. Romans 14. I'm going to read down through this really, really quickly, okay? Because I think it's important where I'm heading. Hey, folks, Jesus told us this. He said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. No, that's not what he said. He said, if you're not born again, born from above, you can't even see the kingdom of God. So it tells me that, first of all, this kingdom must be a real kingdom that you can see, and it must be a real kingdom that you can enter. Now, remember, this was all before Jesus went to the cross. Hey, I'm going to change up on you, Connor. Go to John 3. This is so critical. And John Diamond yesterday so reawakened me to this and the importance of this and the importance of us understanding it. I'm going to give you a chance to come in here in a second because I want to get some feedback from some of you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Remember we talked yesterday about a king and a kingdom? And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Jesus, we know that you're a great teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. Remember we talked yesterday? He was going around healing the sick and everybody that was oppressed of the devil. He wasn't talking about salvation or getting saved or washing away your sins. I mean, he wasn't talking about any of that. And people were following him because they thought he was bringing in a brand new kingdom. And that's why some of those guys, who betrayed him? My brain's dead. Judas. Judas betrayed him. And see, Judas did it in probably with a pure heart. Judas thought, like I hear sometimes, Judas thought Jesus was getting a little bit too overbearing. People were starting to worship him and follow him. And it probably made Judas a little bit nervous. And he went and talked to some of his friends, and they said, yeah, you better go talk to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And of course, they didn't like him anyway. And so they were upset. And they said, hey, listen, we'll give you $30 here, Judas, if you tell us what's going on and where he is and where we can get him, because Jesus is running around telling everybody he's king. And the king, that's treason. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm just going to pause there a minute and let you think about that. Has anybody in all the church experiences that you've ever been in and all the pastors you've ever heard preach, has your pastor spoken to you about the ability to see the kingdom? So Nicodemus said, I don't get it, dude. I said, come on, man. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mom's womb, be born? So you're talking crack stuff here. Jesus can't be born again. I can't go back and undo everything I've done. Jesus said, Nick, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born of water and of spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom can be seen and it can be entered. What? I thought, is that heaven? Is that what we call heaven? No, because Jesus is saying to Nicodemus right there, Nicodemus, if you were born again right now, Nicodemus, you could see the kingdom. He didn't say you're going to go to the kingdom. He didn't say you're going to go visit. He said, if you're born again, you can be right here right now, Nicodemus, and you can see it and you can enter it. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's invisible. You can't. It's not tangible. And Jesus said, Nick, here's your problem, verse 5, or verse 6. Nick, that which is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nick, you're looking at it with your physical eyes, dude. You'll never see it. He says, don't be surprised I say to you, you got to be born again. Don't say that. Why? He says, because the spirit's like the wind. It blows here and it blows there, and you don't know where it came from. You don't even know where it's gone. He says, that's where it is. Everybody's born of the spirit. And Nicodemus said, what? How can these things be? He said, oh, you're so learned and smart, and you're some big dude in Jerusalem. You don't even know this? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know. Scroll on down, Connor, please. And we testify that we've seen. We've been talking to you, Nicodemus, about the kingdom. I've been running around here doing all this time talking to you about the kingdom, and you won't hear it, and you won't see it. You don't get it. We speak what we know and we testify what we've seen, and you won't believe us. He said, I've told you earthly things and you don't believe them. You see people be healed and you still don't believe it. You say that the guy really wasn't blind, and you make up all kinds of excuses. If I tell you those things, you don't believe it. I'm going to tell you heavenly things unless you're born again. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Hang on a minute. Son of Man standing right there before him, isn't he? He's standing right there speaking to him. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, the Son of Man is connected to a kingdom. Oh, my Lord. And he says, just like Moses was lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, it's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to me. And when that happens to me, whoever believes in me is not going to perish, but he's going to have eternal life. Why? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How? Through a new kingdom. Through a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus said, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you see how he connects the spirit to the physical? The light's come. And men hate the light because they like doing evil stuff. For everyone that does evil hates that light. Neither does he come to the light because everybody's going to see what he's been doing. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made obvious, that they are wrought in God. The kingdom. Let me pause right there. Let somebody come in. I haven't forgotten about you, Robert. I promise. I got more to give you. Come on in. Somebody come on in here. Because I was taking you back where we were. Let's go there real quick. Let's go back to Romans 14. This talks about this whole thing. It talks about, let's go down it real quickly, okay? Him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eats herbs. In other words, Jesus gets into this idea of physical behavior. He says, let not him that eateth despise him that doesn't eat it. He says, don't think you're holy because you're eating and this other guy isn't. And not let him which eateth not judge him that doesn't eat. Because God's received them. They're in the kingdom. Quit worrying about these outward things, all right, that you've been taught. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, what are you doing judging another one of God's children? What are you doing? One man esteemeth one day above another, Saturday or Sunday. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. When you go to church and you start following the traditions of the church, do you follow the traditions of the church because you've been persuaded in your own mind? Or is it somebody told you that's the way it's supposed to be? The Lord doesn't want you following things, doing things that you have in your own heart been persuaded of. He says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth unto the Lord. He says, it's not about service on Saturday. It's about the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, the Lord, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. The Lord doesn't care. Jesus isn't upset whether you're doing it on Saturday or Sunday or Maundry Thursday or Wednesday night. He says, he that eateth, let him eat to the Lord. For he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not, let him give thanks to God that he's not eating. Quit picking at each other. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live for the Lord, unto the Lord. And whether we die unto or for the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. And it doesn't matter whether you're eating pork or not eating pork. And it doesn't really matter. I know somebody getting nervous. Verse 10, he says, why do you judge your brother? See, folks, all of these things that we just went down through are carnal things. All these are carnal behaviors. All of them are carnal behaviors. Eating, not eating, drinking, not drinking. They're all carnal behaviors. And Paul is saying to us here, quit judging people according to carnal behaviors. For this, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the living and of the dead. Wow. We could dig into that. So why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ is the judge. That's the shirt we wear. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That's at the end, right? So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In other words, worshiping on Saturday, I'll give an account to God. I don't have to give an account to you or my pastor. Whether I eat pork or don't eat pork, I don't have to answer to you. The answer to the Lord. Whether I drink a beer or don't drink a beer, I'm not to be judged by that. Those are all carnal behaviors. We're going to give an account to God. So let us not, therefore, verse 13, judge any man. Judge anyone anymore. In other words, their carnal behavior. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Me. I don't drink a beer in public. Right there would be why. I don't want to put a stumbling block in my brother's way. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Connor, would you unline that again? I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, then to him it is unclean. If the Lord tells you not to drink a beer, then don't drink a beer. But if thy brother be grieved when you eat, now walkest thou not charitably, do not him, destroy not him with the meat for whom Christ died. In other words, if you think your brother's going to be offended by you drinking a beer, don't do it. Don't do it in front of him. If it's important to him. Because he said you do that, you're going to end up letting your good be evil spoken of. I had that happen to me one time, by the way. Look, verse 17, this is where I was heading for all this stuff. For the kingdom of God ain't got nothing to do with what you eat or what you drink or what you do's and what you don't's. It don't have anything to do with any of that, boys and girls. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God is spiritual, not physical. That's why I used to get so upset when I would hear people say to our football teams, act like Christians. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I want to build up my brother, not tear him down. I don't want to be a stumbling block to him. For meat, destroy what you eat. Does not destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. In other words, if you think it's wrong and you do it, man, it's wrong. Don't do that. That's the kingdom of God. It's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. 22, do you have faith? Have it to thyself before God, between you and the Lord. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. Why do we feel guilty? Why do I feel guilty? Why should I feel guilty if I crack open a beer in the privacy of my own home?
Dave, let me ask you this.
Hang on just a second.
Do you think that they'll... Okay,
let me finish this last sentence. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if you're doing it just to follow the rules, don't waste your time. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say that, do you think that there'll be people in hell that have never said a cuss word, that have showed up at church every Sunday of their adult life, that went to vacation Bible school, that they never ate the improper foods and things like that? Because, look, I'm going to assure you that there's going to be people in hell that fulfilled all of that. That's not what gets you there or not.
No.
What delivers you from hell is Jesus, period. That's it.
Amen. 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 So I go back to the old Sunday school song. I don't know how many of you remember this. So I clear my throat. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. In fact, it says to us that Matthew, where is it? I got to just look down at my note and I saw it. That, oh Lord, how does that happen to me? Luke 17:21. I haven't forgotten you, Robert, I promise. Luke 17:21. I'm sorry, Connor, I know you're catching up. Luke 17, you can just go there and then scroll down to 21. Go down to 21, look what it says. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Remember, he already told him, you can't see it. If you're not born again, you can't see it and you can't enter into it. Neither shall they say, there it is, or there it is. Behold, there it is. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, most of us, for all of our Christian walk, have understood that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come.
Amen.
And how many of us have just prayed that and not even made an effort to understand what we were asking for and asking about? Larry, how lazy can we be?
Well, it is part of that, Larry. I think we thought when we hear kingdom, we think heaven. That's what I think most people, when they read that, thy kingdom come, thy will, I think they think heaven. We haven't been taught properly about the kingdom. Listen, can I bear with me a second. Adam's sin, folks. Adam and Eve were spiritual beings. They were spiritual. All right? We know that. They were physical and spiritual. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathed into the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Adam was a spiritual being, as we all are, living in a carnal body. And the two were in complete harmony with each other. Okay? Oh, listen, don't miss this, okay? Don't miss this. When Adam and Eve sinned, the kingdom was divided. Carnal, spiritual. From that point on, those two could never be reunited. Why? Because the scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. What is death? Well, death is separation. The relationship has been broken. The dichotomy, the union of spirit and flesh, which was one and perfect in Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned, the two kingdoms were divided into a carnal kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. And the whole purpose of Christ's resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, was the reuniting of those two kingdoms. That where the physical, spiritual man, the kingdom of God is within you again, now have the ability to control your carnal nature. It wasn't possible before. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you don't get it, Nick. You don't get it, man, because you're seeing the thing with carnal eyes. You're walking around everything you do thinking carnally. You're missing the spiritual. You're missing it. Why? Because they're two kingdoms. Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so when he died on the cross, what did he do? The wages of sin is death. He reconciled, he balanced the books. So the debt was paid so that now reunification was possible of the spirit man and the carnal man. That is now, see, I don't know about you. I can't even tell you the number of things that I used to do that I no longer do. And it's not because I stopped doing them because of religion. I stopped doing them because the spirit man came in and regained that. Oh, it's a new kingdom. There's a new king inside of me. The one that used to rule my life for about 35 years. I got a new king now. And those of us who walk away from sin can only walk away from sin because of the union of those two coming back. The Christ being reconciled to the world. Within you right now is a kingdom. If you're born again in the Spirit of God, you have power that you never had before. Remember Jesus said this? Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, dudes, if I wanted to right now, I could call down 10,000 angels. They come down, they kick all your butts. I can do that right now. He said, you don't get it till. My kingdom's not of this world. And it didn't mean not here. It meant not carnal. It ain't a carnal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he tried to tell us, all of us, to wake up, to receive this new kingdom into us, and then go into all the world and teach everybody else about it. Go out there and tell everybody else that they can be reconciled, that they can be reconciled, and that sin will no longer be able to rule and reign in the world, because why? There's a new king, new kingdom. It's finished. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. He would destroy the works of the devil, and Jesus hung on the cross. I did it. Now understand this. Plus, stay with me a second. This kingdom that we live in now, folks, is ruled by faith, not by sight. Oh, Lord, if we could get that. The kingdom, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are not controlled by what you see. You might be impacted, but you're not controlled by it. Yet, majority of Christians are, in fact, controlled by what they see, by what's going on around them. It's hard to get out of this carnal world, this carnal nature. It's hard to pull back from that. And it says in the scripture that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because false evidence, fear, is always going to be coming at you. Always going to. And this false fear that comes at you is always going to try to prevent you from doing the will of God. Always will. It's ruled by faith. See, the kingdom of God is opposite from the kingdom of the world. In the kingdom of God, you see it. I'm sorry. In the kingdom of the world, you see it and then believe it. In the kingdom of God, you believe it and then see it. Just opposite, see? It's just opposite. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it. I'm not talking about any of that at all. I'm asking ourselves this. Instead of us going around and trying to get people saved to go to heaven, what if we began to teach them again as Jesus did and as John the Baptist did, that you now, hey, boys and girls, you want to come to Christ because you're going to get victory over fear, over anger, over selfishness, over all. You're going to get victory over all that stuff. Boys, we have a remedy for everything that's bothering you. And that's the reunification of the spirit world with the physical world. The kingdom of God coming down inside you and giving you the ability. Listen to me. Giving you the ability to control you. The ability to control you. And then you teach others the same thing. Go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Why? Because he's in us. Kingdom's within us. I'll shut up a minute. I feel somebody trying to come in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I just want to make sure you can hear me. I'm on my phone. When I went up to New York and I prayed on that gate and did what I did, now after that, Coach, I don't care what the news says. I don't care what anybody says. I know. I already saw what's going to happen. I saw it. It doesn't matter what we see now in our natural eyes or what we hear with our ears in the natural. I saw it go down in the spirit. I saw God. I knew what he was doing. He's ending the Clinton reign. He's ending it. Now, am I going to see it right now? Maybe not, but it's going to play out. I believe it. I have faith in that. That's exactly how it is in the spirit man, Coach. You don't see it until, you can't see it with the natural eye. You don't see the kingdom with the natural eye. You come into it with what God is doing, and then you can see it. So, I don't know how to explain it, but I just know it works. That's how it works. That's the faith of that. It's not something I conjured up. It's what God spoke to me, and I did it, and I saw it's over, and it's over. I see it.
So. It doesn't even matter because you did it, right? You did it. You were obedient to do it. Connor, pull up 1 Corinthians 4, First Corinthians. Hey,
come on in. Hey, Coach, the analogy of the church today is like, if I want to go into another country, I need to get a passport and a visa to come in and out of America. We do that with that little sinner's prayer. We think that's our get out of jail or get out of hell card, where we can go into the kingdom of God and we can come back out of the kingdom of God, and then we can go back into the kingdom of God and come back out of the kingdom of God. Brother, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that, Dale. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, I think it is. You ready, folks? Are you ready? Are you sitting down? He said, seek first. What? What did he tell us to seek first?
The kingdom of God
and his righteousness. Then
all of these other things will be added unto you. And what do we do in America? We try to get all these other things, thinking that we're going to the kingdom of God and righteousness is going to come upon us. He says, no, no, no. Boys, you got that backwards. Seek first the kingdom. Not salvation. Don't seek first salvation. Salvation is a consequence. It's a result of entering into the kingdom. You have to be saved to get into the kingdom. You have to be born again. You have to be saved to be born again. 1 Corinthians 4.
You have to repent to be saved.
That's right. It's amazing how, I'm not going to read all this. Connor, go down to about 15. All this talks again about judging. We're judging each other. Judging. Okay. Let's see. Go down just a little bit farther, Connor. Make sure I'm in the right place. Yes, it is. Okay. Right, go back up, man. Start right there. Stop. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Amen, dude. Yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, Jesus said, be you followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy. He's my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, and he shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I come to you shortly, Randy, if the Lord wills, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up. Said, you're going to know them by the power. For the kingdom of God is not talk, boys and girls. The kingdom of God is power. Kingdom of God ain't preaching. Kingdom of God ain't going to church on Sunday and sitting in the pew. The kingdom of God is taking what is inside of you and going out and demonstrating that power of God that's inside each and every one of us. Wow! So seek first that. Seek first it. Kingdom of God, you transfer the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a transference of kingdoms. It's a reuniting of the carnal world with the spiritual world. You're a spirit being. You are a spirit who possesses a soul and you live in a body. You're not a body. We're not carnal. Yet we're controlled by the carnal. Unless you be led of the spirit. What does it say? If you led of the spirit, you shall not what? Do what? Those who are led, if you are led by the spirit, you will not fulfill
the desires of the flesh.
Lusts of the flesh. So in other words, the kingdom of God gives you victory over your carnal man. Isn't that something? See, it's more than just being saved. It's so much more than just being saved.
And Coach, now that we are in Christ, we're ambassadors for Christ. In other words, an ambassador represents that nation in which he comes from. We come from the kingdom of God. We do not conform to the things or to the laws of this world. We're here to represent the laws of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, Dale, and not only that, you carry the authority of that kingdom. When you're an ambassador, you speak for that kingdom. You walk in that authority. We're ambassadors.
Here's another thing about ambassadorship. You know, when you go to a nation, the embassy, that is considered sovereign land of that nation. Brother, wherever we go, wherever we set our feet, we're the ambassadors. That is the sovereign nation of God.
We don't believe that, Dale. I mean, I agree. That's it. But we don't believe that. We don't believe that at all. Kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Robert, yes. October 3rd. October 3rd, Robert. You ready to pull this? Somebody come on in. I get Robert all queued up.
Well, Coach, you need to have the devotional ready. I don't have mine with me. My devotional is in my car. My car is at the mechanic shop getting a new radiator put in.
All right. You want me to read it?
You want me to read it? Yeah. See, the thing is, it needs a new radiator because the mechanic said it was leaking water like a sieve. And I was thinking, you know, maybe Christians need new radiators so they will not leak out all the Holy Spirit water.
Amen, brother.
I mean, they're like broken cisterns that can hold no Holy Spirit water and therefore can't pursue the kingdom. Amen. But anyway, yeah, go ahead and read it. And it's interesting, Coach, that the first two words of the quote by J.C. Ryle, a pastor in the 1800s, the first two words of that quote, he talks about jellyfish Christianity.
I got it right here, Robert.
I thought you would love that. So you can read it.
Jellyfish Christianity, J.C. Ryle says, is a Christianity without bone, muscle, or sinew, without any distinct teaching about the atonement, the work of the Spirit, justification, or the way of peace with God. A vague, foggy, misty Christianity of which the only watchwords seem to be, you must be liberal and kind. You must condemn no man's doctrinal views. You must consider everybody is right and nobody is wrong. So J.C. Ryle said. So Robert writes, we must be on guard against any teaching that undermines the importance and necessity of a holy life and that turns the grace of our God into licentiousness or doing whatever you want to do. Such teaching denies our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jude. Cannot serve two masters. Hey, carnal and spiritual. Can't serve them both. Cannot serve two masters, sin and the Savior. After being delivered from our Egypt, that darkness and dominion of Satan's world and domain. Christians must continue to trust and obey as citizens of heaven. The kingdom's within us, folks. Jesus has become to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Many are familiar with the faith promise of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But many also fail to follow the command to faith practice of John 3:36. He who believes in the Son is eternal, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. See, that's that carnal man. That's that carnal man. They're separated. When the Lord returns, he will deal out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul asked believers who've been saved by grace, so are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. For the outcome of sanctification is eternal life. For it is written, but now, having been freed from sin, enslaved to God, there's a reuniting of those two things, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. It is one who does the will of God who lives forever with him. Conversely, the wages of sin is death. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see it? The kingdom of God is within us to control all this. Oh, man. All right, boy, I've just rambled on and on. Somebody come on in here.
Yeah, mic drop on all who are led by the Spirit of God. How many of us get up in the morning and have our to-do list that we made out?
Well, we all have to start out with some type of game plan, but you have to be able to hear his voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear his voice, and another voice they will not hear. Amen. Quiet crowd out there. We're up to 35, by the way. Others have figured out how to get in here today. Somebody come on in.
How about Robert's daily message?
I just read it.
Oh, sorry.
Chad, you been sleeping on the job? What's going on?
Amen.
Must have been impactful. You slept right through it. Just read it. Okay. Pulled up here. My commentary today, news reviews. We all need to hear this. We all need to hear this. Pulled up there for me, Connor. Let me read it. I send it to most of you. By the way, if you're not getting these, let me know. I wrote today, again, Kingdom of God issue, folks. This is a Kingdom of God issue. Why won't millennials have babies? When are you going to start having babies? I vividly remember asking our daughter Abby that question about 2 years after she'd been married. Upon her graduation from Hillsdale College and subsequent marriage to a Hillsdale classmate, I assumed the strong conservative education she'd received would have made the importance of having children obvious. But like so many others of her age, she started her upward climb in her career, having landed a sweet position as a legislative aide in the Ohio State House. She was a quick thinker and strong in her beliefs, and she was no doubt on her way up that political ladder. However, after a year in that position, she was offered a job with a megachurch. And her desire to serve the Lord moved her out of government and into ministry. She was content there, yet somewhat disillusioned by what she saw going on behind the scenes at the church. Being on the inside of the church business involved a lot of conflict, and she really did see the underbelly of Christian ministry. So when are you going to have babies? I said to her. Well, Dad, she responded, I made a commitment when I took the job at the church, and they really don't want to train us in our jobs and only to have us leave because we're pregnant. What? I said, now more than ever, we need young Christians like you having children, or this nation will go to hell in a handbasket. Are you telling me that those at the church are not encouraging young college graduates to start producing air hosts? You're kidding me, right, Abby? Well, not directly, Dad, but there's certainly a feeling that you get when someone starts talking about starting a family. It's not that they are against families, but just that the work we do for the ministry is their top priority. Look, Abby, children are a gift from God. Why would you purposefully block the blessing of the Lord? Your mother and I have invested our lives into you, and now it's time for you to invest your lives into your children. Your mom and I deserve grandbabies. Being a mother is the most important thing you can ever do with your life. 3 months later, they were pregnant. And since the birth of that first arrow, today is Reese's 9th birthday, our first granddaughter today. They were pregnant. Since the birth of that first arrow in their quiver, she has dedicated her life to homeschooling their growing family. I'll never forget overhearing her say to her then childless former college roommate, it's the most gratifying thing I've ever done in my life. I never dreamed how fulfilling children would make our lives, I heard Abby say. Why won't our children have children? My wife Michelle and I are in our mid-60s. Most of our friends are the same age. Sorry, guys, some of you aren't that old. Yet it grieves us to see how many of our friends' children still have not given their parents grandchildren. Christian parents I'm referring to, highly educated, financially successful, loving parents have failed to pass on to the children the importance of childbearing. Expanding the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus said? Such are the kingdom of God. Little children, such are the kingdom of God. Where's our generation gone so wrong? How have we raised such self-centered, me-first generation? Look around you. How many friends do you have who are in their 60s and beyond and still don't have any grandkids? Perhaps it's the fruit of abortion. You know the mantra, my body, my choice. Could it be that we have made childbearing an option rather than a duty? The Psalms tell us that the fruit of the womb is His reward. His reward? Yeah! Children are God's reward from the union that occurs in the marriage bed. Failure to have children is robbing God of His reward. The consequence of our self-inflicted barrenness is a culture in decay. When Christians don't have children, how can we expect our nation to have a society where children, where Christian values are taught, enforced, and expected? But you shouldn't have children until you can afford them. I hear the secular Christians chortle. We all know that if we waited until then for them to have children, if we waited until we could afford them, nobody would ever have babies. Sadly, that's the mindset more common in most of American pulpits than we would like to believe. American Christians need to start having children, and they need to start now. It's obvious that inflation and overtaxation by our government has forced both parents into the workforce. Sadly, many young married couples can't live on one income. Don't you think that the government could create policies that would encourage young parents to stay home and raise families? Of course they could. Is it just me, or does it seem as if the government is doing just the opposite? Should both parents have to work so that illegals can get welfare? Looks as if the baby boomers are the last generation to build generational wealth forged primarily through inflation. Buy a house at $10,000 and 30 years later it's worth $80,000 and you think you got rich. Oh boy. Our nation's undisciplined spending lays heavily on the back of our children. So how badly do you want to have grandchildren, boomers? Instead of buying that motorhome and cruising the nation, perhaps you should consider cracking open your nest egg and taking the burden off of your children. Offer to pay your children's mortgage if mom stays home and raises the kids. Invest in your children now so that you can spend your golden years with a quiver full of grandbabies. Spend the money on your children now, or they will spend it on themselves after you pass away. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Why don't our Christian children have children? Why did they deny their parents the blessings they deserve? Only a Christian baby boom can rescue America. Amen and amen. And if you're one of those baby boomers sitting out there wishing your children would have babies, I feel for you. I feel for you. It's the greatest joy of my life is my grandchildren. It's the greatest opportunity I have to expand the kingdom of God by putting the kingdom of God within my children. That's my grandchildren. That's why Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And our Amen, coach.
And our churches are telling our kids not to have babies. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Man, such is the kingdom of God.
Go figure. The guy behind the pulpit got it wrong again.
Got it wrong again, baby. Got it wrong again. Hey, folks, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. Wow. God bless you. See you tomorrow.